I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Russia is offering its services as a mediator in Libya. Today, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev made that clear after the conclusion of the G8 summit in France. A U.S. official at the summit said Washington would keep in touch with Moscow about its offer to mediate. The G8 meeting had ended earlier with a unanimous declaration urging that Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi step down. Meanwhile, Britain and France have vowed that a new phase in their air campaign against Gaddafi's forces would soon begin. And on the ground in Libya, the situation essentially remains in a stalemate. Gaddafi's forces are hunkered down in the west. The rebels are holding on to Misrata and the east. And that's pretty much where things stood on April 5th. April 5th was the day that four Western journalists ran into serious trouble in Libya. Three of them wound up detained by government forces for the next 6 weeks. The fourth is believed to have died. The group included two Americans, Global Post reporter James Foley and freelancer Claire Morgana Gillis, who writes for The Atlantic and USA Today. The other two were photographers Anton Hemmerl from South Africa and Manuel Varela from Spain. James Foley is back home now after his release last week. He recounts for us the events that led to the reporters' capture on April 5th.
We were planning to go out that day to report on what was actually happening in the city of Brega. There was some serious fighting there between Gaddafi loyalists and rebels. And we went out that day, myself, Manu, Claire, and Anton. Gaddafi vehicles rolled right over the hill, two heavily armed pickups firing. We immediately ducked to the ground. And as bullets streamed overhead, I heard Anton shout out, "Help, help." I asked him if he was okay. He said no. And he did not respond after that. Bullets came closer. The soldiers were actually coming towards us, shooting. So I jumped up, said, "Journalist, journalist," in Arabic, realizing that was really maybe our only chance, or we would be shot down as well.
And what happened then?
We were all apprehended, struck with, the butt of an AK-47, punched, tied up, hands behind our back of a truck, and driven to a small house in Brega these soldiers had commandeered. They were very young soldiers. They actually treated us okay and told us we'd go to Tripoli. So within 2 days, we were in a detention center in Tripoli.
And did this include the South African journalist Anton Hemmerl, who had said he wasn't okay when you shouted out to him?
Anton was left there. He was bleeding severely. If he didn't have any immediate medical help, he would have died, and I think that's exactly what happened. The Libyan government says they have his passport.
Jim, when you and the others were taken to Tripoli, to a detention center, could you describe what your life was like there and on a daily basis even, and whether you had contact with the guards or soldiers who were holding you?
First, Claire and I were put in the same cell, possibly because we were both Americans or, you know, maybe in Arab culture, a woman often needs some kind of chaperone. Whatever it was, I was extremely lucky. I was with Claire. We were able to try to piece through the illogical questioning. You know, we were each interrogated for over 6 hours.
You mean individually or together?
Individually, we were interrogated.
Well, someone was asking you questions in English. What were they asking?
Well, we were blindfolded, and basically they asked us very specific questions, who we worked for, how many reports we filed, what level of revolutionaries we knew, what we thought of the revolution, what we thought of their chances. So it was a combination of them trying to get intelligence from us and them trying to get us to prove we were either a spy or weren't a spy. And all this is while you're blindfolded and while different voices are either shouting at you like bad cop or kind of trying to calm you down in sort of like a good cop way.
So aside from the interrogations, you say in some cases 6 hours long, what else did you do during the days that you had there?
Claire and I would pray a lot, you know, pray that our families knew we were okay.
Did you pray together out loud?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we had in fact, there was a man who I can't name, but he's an American who they're trying to get out right now, who had a very strong faith. And we would talk to him through electrical outlet, if you believe that, and pass messages. And he used to pass us scripture.
Wait a minute. Can you just describe that, how you did this through an electrical outlet?
We tapped on the wall one day, and he tapped back, and it ended up being this man, this American, who was a contractor, who was captured very early on in the struggle. and you could talk through this outlet, like kind of like a game of telephone.
Like you had to whisper in it. Presumably, you didn't want anybody to hear.
Right, you had to whisper at the right times, but you could actually hear okay. He told us about his faith, and he told us about the importance of prayer, and of course, we were already praying, but he was really, really strong and able to provide some scripture that was really inspirational.
I don't know how much of this was out loud, but were you worried about whether or not those who were hearing you, assuming that they were Muslim and knowing that you wanted to at least hide part of your identity, were you worried that that might get you in trouble?
No, they assume that these are prison guards, and you know they're not that educated, and they assume that you're Christian or something. And we were then transferred to a regular prison with other Libyans times a day to Allah, and invited to pray in their way of worship. And Mano and I decided to join them because it was their culture, and because you know we felt a strong need to engage in some communal form of strength and spirituality.
Does that mean you were kneeling with them and bowing toward Mecca?
Well, kneeling 5 times a day with them, yes.
What were the circumstances of your release? What happened?
The Hungarian embassy was instrumental. They came in at the end. They took us to their embassy on the last day, and they arranged for the complicated process to get us to the border and across the border to Tunisia.
And how difficult was that? What was it like?
I didn't have my passport until the very last minute. We had to find my passport, and we were held up for about 4 hours by the Libyans at the border. So it was, even to the very end, it felt almost uncertain.
Do you feel safe now? I mean, you're back. You know, you're so far away from where that happened, but I wonder how much is still with you.
No, I feel safe. I feel good. I feel healthy, and I just want to work hard to try to bring attention to what happened to Anton. What is happening to all these political prisoners? There's 10,000 or more political prisoners in Tripoli who are languishing there because they protested against the Gaddafi regime.
Well, we're glad you're back. Jim Foley, thank you.
Lisa, thank you so much.
That was James Foley, a journalist for Global Post. He was taken by forces loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi last month. Foley was freed last week after having been detained for 6 weeks. You can see a pretty compelling video featuring more of James Foley's story at theworld.org. There's also a link to our conversation with James's mother, Diane, and we have information on how to help out with donations to the family of journalist Anton Hamrell of South Africa. That's all at theworld.org.